Senatsverwaltung für Bildung, Jugend und Familie im Land Berlin. Prüfung zum Erwerb der erweiterten Berufsbildungsreife und des mittleren Schulabschlusses im Fach Englisch 2019. Welcome to your listening test. This test has got 4 parts. Please take your worksheets now. Listening Part 1. Voicemail messages. You are going to hear 4 people reacting to pictures which were sent in an online chat. Look at the pictures and then listen to each message. Decide which picture each speaker reacts to and put a tick in the right box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have time to look at the pictures. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task. Message 1.
Wow, that is adorable. She is so going to love that. That will make her special day even more amazing. Is it homemade? I'm sure it tastes as sweet as it looks. I can't believe she's all grown up now. Wasn't she just a little baby yesterday? Where has time gone? Well, I'm looking forward to seeing her face when she sees that tomorrow.
Message 2.
Wow, what a mess. Must have been lots of fun, though. Aw, that really makes me want to be a kid again. But then again, it'll take ages to get them clean. Well, at least it happened outside, so it's not like you have to renovate your place or buy new furniture. Just turn on the sprinkler in the garden. That'll do the job.
Message 3.
Hey, that looks like a cool holiday. I wish I was with you. You know how much I love to discover new places. That spot definitely looks kind of different, like total freedom. Where is it? You guys look so happy. I'm not sure I'd be fit enough, though. It looks like it was quite a hike.
Message 4.
Hey, Nutter! Have you built that yourself? What a great idea! I would love to have a go on it. It must be such a cool feeling to use something that you've created yourself. I suppose that's recycling 2.0. What a great use of rubbish. Well, there's room for 2, so take me out, but make sure you bring an extra life jacket.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time. Message 1.
Wow, that is adorable! She is so going to love that. That will make her special day even more amazing. Is it homemade? I'm sure it tastes as sweet as it looks. I can't believe she's all grown up now. Wasn't she just a little baby yesterday? Where has time gone? Well, I'm looking forward to seeing her face when she sees that tomorrow.
Message 2.
Wow, what a mess. Must have been lots of fun, though. Aw, that really makes me want to be a kid again. But then again, it'll take ages to get them clean. Well, at least it happened outside, so it's not like you have to renovate your place or buy new furniture. Just turn on the sprinkler in the garden. That'll do the job.
Message 3.
Hey, that looks like a cool holiday. I wish I was with you. You know how much I love to discover new places. That spot definitely looks kind of different. Like, total freedom. Where is it? You guys look so happy. I'm not sure I'd be fit enough, though. It looks like it was quite a hike.
Message 4.
Hey, Nutter! Have you built that yourself? What a great idea. I would love to have a go in it. It must be such a cool feeling to use something that you've created yourself. I suppose that's recycling 2.0. What a great use of rubbish. Well, there's room for two, so take me out, but make sure you bring an extra life jacket.
This is the end of Listening Part 1. Listening Part 2. Radio ads. Please note, you do not need to understand every word to do this task. You are going to hear 4 radio ads. You will hear the recording twice. Read the slogans below first, then listen to the recording. For each ad, choose the correct slogan from the list, A to F, and put a tick in the right box. There is only one correct slogan for each ad. 2 slogans can't be matched. You now have time to read the slogans. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the next 7 years of bigger and bigger enrollments, America's grade schools will need nearly 250,000 extra teachers besides those to fill normal vacancies. This great need, plus the growing public interest in education and improvements in schools, make elementary school teaching a more rewarding career than ever. A career that high school and college students should certainly consider. Education holds America's future, perhaps your future.
More than a third of adults in the U.S. are obese. Weight gain occurs when you consume more calories than your body uses. Reaching and maintaining a healthy weight will help you prevent and control many diseases and conditions such as cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. The key is finding a balance in your lifestyle that includes healthy eating and regular physical activity. To achieve this balance, go to www.cdc.gov. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is Dave Paulison, the United States Fire Administrator. Be safe this 4th of July, especially where fireworks are concerned. Our most recent report shows 23,000 fireworks fires and 9,300 fireworks injuries each year. Nearly half of those injured are under the age of 15. Fireworks are dangerous even when you think you're being safe. Don't let our nation's birthday become a tragic day. If you use fireworks, make sure you use them legally and safely, and have a family fun summertime.
Georgia is now in the midst of a historic drought, and today I'm speaking with the woman pretty much responsible for the whole thing. You are Mother Nature.
You know I am.
Any thoughts on when this drought will be over?
When you see water sprinkling on your head.
Well, Governor Perdue has eased Georgia's outdoor watering ban. Now, in keeping with local restrictions, we can water again.
That governor's a smart man.
But aren't we running out of water?
You've still got water, honey. You just got to be smart about how you use it.
Uh-huh.
The plants in your yards are an important part of Georgia's ecosystem. They help keep your air clean, your house is cool, and prevent stormwater runoff.
So we should water our plants.
What you should do is learn more about what to plant and where to plant it. Some plants are more drought tolerant than others. That's why I invented them.
Well, how can we find out more about this?
Oh, it's easy. Visit your local garden center or go to outdoorwateruse.com.
Outdoorwateruse.com. You know about dot-coms?
I'm Mother Nature, not Mother Goose. I know about everything.
Touché.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the next 7 years of bigger and bigger enrollments, America's grade schools will need nearly 250,000 extra teachers besides those to fill normal vacancies. This great need, plus the growing public interest in education and improvements in schools, make elementary school teaching a more rewarding career than ever, a career that high school and college students should certainly consider. Education holds America's future, perhaps your future.
More than a third of adults in the U.S. are obese. Weight gain occurs when you consume more calories than your body uses. Reaching and maintaining a healthy weight will help you prevent and control many diseases and conditions such as cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. The key is finding a balance in your lifestyle that includes healthy eating and regular physical activity. To achieve this balance, go to www.cdc.gov. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is Dave Paulison, the United States Fire Administrator. Be safe this 4th of July, especially where fireworks are concerned. Our most recent report shows 23,000 fireworks fires and 9,300 fireworks injuries each year. Nearly half of those injured are under the age of 15. Fireworks are dangerous even when you think you're being safe. Don't let our nation's birthday become a tragic day. If you use fireworks, make sure you use them legally and safely, and have a family fun summertime.
Georgia is now in the midst of a historic drought, and today I'm speaking with the woman pretty much responsible for the whole thing. You are Mother Nature.
You know I am.
Any thoughts on when this drought will be over?
When you see water sprinkling on your head.
Well, Governor Perdue has eased Georgia's outdoor watering ban. Now, in keeping with local restrictions, we can water again.
That governor's a smart man.
But aren't we running out of water?
You've still got water, honey. You just got to be smart about how you use it.
Uh-huh.
The plants in your yards are an important part of Georgia's ecosystem. They help keep your air clean, your houses cool, and prevent storm water runoff.
So we should water our plants.
What you should do is learn more about what to plant and where to plant it. Some plants are more drought tolerant than others. That's why I invented them.
Well, how can we find out more about this?
Oh, it's easy. Visit your local garden center or go to outdoorwateruse.com.
Outdoorwateruse.com. You know about .coms?
I'm Mother Nature, not Mother Goose. I know about everything.
Touché.
This is the end of Listening Part 2. Listening Part 3. Travel Challenges. You are going to hear three people talking about travel challenges they are doing. You will hear the recording twice. Complete the table below. Use 1 to 5 words or numbers for each answer. You now have time to look at the table. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
Hi, I'm Matt Green, and I come from Virginia in the U.S. But what I really want to tell you about is a challenge I set out to do about 4 years ago. I am walking every street in New York City. You heard right. Every single one. I have been walking every block in every borough, from the Bronx to Staten Island, covering more than 8,000 miles. Why would I ever want to do that? Well, coming from a small town, I wanted to really get to know a big city. But not just any city. It had to be the Big Apple. And I thought, what better way than on foot? You see, I just love walking. I've already walked all the way across the U.S., from east to west. That time, I got to see a million places, but only for a minute each. This time, in New York, I'm really taking the time to focus. I found you can walk the same street 100 times and have 100 different experiences. If you said, "Matt, what will you think of next?" I'd say, "Well, I'll soon be working as a shoe model to promote a new line of walking shoes for a famous company. Something totally different, but still challenging."
Do you love something so much that you'd travel the world for it? I do. My name's Cynthia Poole, and I absolutely love Nando's. For those of you who don't have the pleasure of knowing Nando's, it is the best chicken restaurant chain ever. And my mission is to eat at every Nando's in the world. I took up the challenge in 2013 after reading that anyone who completes this challenge would get unlimited Nando's for themselves and 5 friends. Just think, 3 peri-peri spiced chicken for the rest of my life. So far, I have ticked off 80 Nando's restaurants, but seeing as there are 1,000 outlets in 30 countries on 5 continents, the rest could take some time. My most memorable Nando's experience had nothing to do with the food, but with a very special person. I fell in love with a waiter in Durban. Believe it or not, he gave up his job for me, and now we are on this mission together. So, will I ever finish my mission? To be honest, I don't know. But I've already achieved more than I had ever dreamt of.
My name's Dean, Dean Wills. Whenever I travel, I take checklists with me. What's on my checklist right now? Well, right now I'm here in my home country, Britain. It may sound a little crazy, but I'm visiting every place beginning with Z. That's right, the letter Z. There's a total of 41, from Zampman's Rock off the Isles of Scilly to Zoa, a farm up in northern Shetland. On this journey so far, the best find was this really curvy road. In fact, one of the curviest roads in Great Britain. It goes up a hill which is called Zigzag Hill. Driving on this road feels like being on a roller coaster or a racetrack. Simply fabulous. And get this, at the end of that long day on the road, when I stopped for a bite to eat at a pub just north of Zigzag Hill, I saw Britain's most famous celebrity cook himself. Yeah. There he was, Jamie Oliver, chatting with the local villagers and signing copies of his latest cookbook. It certainly was a day to remember. In fact, the whole trip has been unforgettable. That's why I've decided to write a book about all the places I will have ticked off on my checklist. The Z to Z of Great Britain. To share my travel experiences with readers around the world.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Hi, I'm Matt Green, and I come from Virginia in the U.S. But what I really want to tell you about is a challenge I set out to do about 4 years ago. I am walking every street in New York City. You heard right. Every single one. I have been walking every block in every borough, from the Bronx to Staten Island, covering more than 8,000 miles. Why would I ever want to do that? Well, coming from a small town, I wanted to really get to know a big city. But not just any city. It had to be the Big Apple. And I thought, what better way than on foot? You see, I just love walking. I've already walked all the way across the U.S., from east to west. That time, I got to see a million places, but only for a minute each. This time, in New York, I'm really taking the time to focus. I found you can walk the same street 100 times and have 100 different experiences. If you said, Matt, what will you think of next? I'd say, well, I'll soon be working as a shoe model to promote a new line of walking shoes for a famous company. Something totally different, but still challenging.
Do you love something so much that you'd travel the world for it? I do. My name's Cynthia Poole, and I absolutely love Nando's. For those of you who don't have the pleasure of knowing Nando's, it is the best chicken restaurant chain ever. And my mission is to eat at every Nando's in the world. I took up the challenge in 2013 after reading that anyone who completes this challenge would get unlimited Nando's for themselves and 5 friends. Just think, free peri-peri spiced chicken for the rest of my life. So far, I have ticked off 80 Nando's restaurants, but seeing as there are 1,000 outlets in 30 countries on 5 continents, the rest could take some time. My most memorable Nando's experience had nothing to do with the food, but with a very special person. I fell in love with a waiter in Durban. Believe it or not, he gave up his job for me, and now we are on this mission together. So, will I ever finish my mission? To be honest, I don't know. But I've already achieved more than I had ever dreamt of.
My name's Dean, Dean Wills. Whenever I travel, I take checklists with me. What's on my checklist right now? Well, right now I'm here in my home country, Britain. It may sound a little crazy, but I'm visiting every place beginning with Z. That's right, the letter Z. There's a total of 41, from Zampman's Rock off the Isles of Scilly to Zoa, a farm up in northern Shetland. On this journey so far, the best find was this really curvy road. In fact, one of the curviest roads in Great Britain. It goes up a hill which is called Zigzag Hill. Driving on this road feels like being on a roller coaster or a racetrack. Simply fabulous. And get this, at the end of that long day on the road, when I stopped for a bite to eat at a pub just north of Zigzag Hill, I saw Britain's most famous celebrity cook himself. Yeah, there he was, Jamie Oliver, chatting with the local villagers and signing copies of his latest cookbook. It certainly was a day to remember. In fact, the whole trip has been unforgettable. That's why I've decided to write a book about all the places I will have ticked off on my checklist. The Z to Z of Great Britain. To share my travel experiences with readers around the world.
This is the end of Listening Part 3. Listening Part 4. Honesty. You are going to hear a radio program. There are 3 speakers. Judy Andrews, the host, Sean McConnery, an expert, and Safura, a caller. You will hear the recording twice. Read the statements below first, then listen to the recording. Put a tick in the box next to the correct statement. Only 1 statement is correct in each case. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
Welcome again to Spirit of the Time. I'm Judy Andrews. Today we're going to tackle one of the basic topics of human interaction. Let's get into the topic with a little story before I introduce my guest, Sean McConnery, to you. You'll have the chance to call in via Skype and comment or ask our expert. Yesterday, during my lunch break, I went to have a bite to eat and relax reading some tabloids. I sat down at a table next to two women who were happily chatting over a latte macchiato. After a while, a mobile rang. Obviously, the daughter of one of the women was calling. "Darling, it's okay if you go with Mona. I'm still in a meeting at work. I can come and pick you up when the meeting is over." Then she asked to talk to Mona's mum and repeated that she was in a meeting and could sneak out early at 3 p.m. or, if Mona's mum didn't mind, after it was officially over at 4. Mona's mum didn't mind. When I left to go back to work, the two were still enjoying themselves. No signs of work or preparations to leave. It was 3:15. It took some time for me to realise that this nice lady had just been lying to both her daughter and the person who was taking care of her daughter at that time. Is that okay? How honest are we? How honest do we think we are? This is what we'll be talking about today. So, let me begin by asking our expert. Welcome, Sean. Nice to have you here.
Hi, nice to be here.
So, Sean, what do you think of my little example? Was that lie okay?
Well, I think your observation reflects a basic dilemma. Yes, the woman was definitely lying, but was it a bad lie? Did it hurt anyone? Or does lying to your child always harm this very important relationship? So you can see that we tend to start thinking when it comes to judging whether something is a lie or not, as if there was a kind of lie that is allowed, a good lie, and one that is forbidden. There are hardly any people who generally say lying is okay. So being truthful is actually a general cultural rule. But still, we differentiate between lie and lie. Doesn't a busy mum deserve a break with a friend in peace and quiet? Doesn't she even protect her child from feeling unimportant?
Let's hear Sephora, who's joining us via Skype. Hi, Sephora. Tell us what you think.
Good evening, everyone. What I dislike about your story is that the woman lies without any real reason. By doing so, she doesn't do her child any good. She lies just to make things easier for herself. Why doesn't she admit that she's seeing a friend? And what really annoys me is that she didn't even seem to be embarrassed in front of her friend or the other people. So it seems to be normal for her. A way of life to get by easily. And that's what I don't like. We should not lie.
I know what you're saying. We shouldn't be too easy with lies, giving ourselves excuses for even the tiniest matters. So lying becomes somewhat normal whenever it brings about an advantage. Think of the media. Think of fake news, fake internet identities. When did you last post a picture that was not manipulated? We all don't like liars, but where do we begin?
Oh, now you're opening up the whole big world of lies in politics and the media. But as our time is limited, I'd like to stick to the more private aspect of the matter. The daily struggle with our bad conscience. The gap between our moral values and reality. Sean, you made an experiment and wrote a book about it. 1 year without lying. What a challenge. More than you imagined, right?
Oh, absolutely challenging and unexpected.
What I actually found most interesting in your book were the many situations you came across in your daily routines where everything was different than usual just because you couldn't lie. And how disturbing it was for the people around you.
Oh, yes. Private life without lying is impossible, believe me.
Tell us more.
Well, during my project, I set myself a very strict set of rules. No lies at all. Believe me, You have no idea how many times a day you lie according to this strict sense. And people are absolutely not prepared to take the truth. I lost some friends that year and upset many people. Let me give you an example. Your wife is dressing up for a party. She asks you how she looks, and the true answer would be, "You looked better to me in jeans and t-shirt." Does she want to hear that? Does it help her? Not at all. It's simply what I was thinking at that moment. Or our little child asks, "Will I be queen one day?" Is no the right answer in that situation? It would be if she were 30 and not yet married to Prince George. But for her, but I had to tell her, "No way." And she cried. And she hated me for that honesty.
Well, clearly I also lie in situations like that. I don't actually feel like a liar, though. It's more like a ritual of politeness or respect. And in your first example, you could have told your wife that she looked great without lying to her. I bet she looked great, even though it wasn't what you were thinking. Being truthful doesn't mean you have to say everything you're thinking. On the contrary, always saying straight out what you think is simply rude. When you see a friend who's put on some weight, just keep it to yourself.
Right. But my wife did ask. But you're right. I didn't really need to tell her. So where do we draw the line between lying and just not saying something?
I know this problem. I often feel bad because there are things I don't tell my parents about. Not just to keep myself out of trouble, but also because I think they simply wouldn't understand.
What kind of things?
You know, my parents didn't grow up here in Britain. They grew up in Pakistan, and they don't know what my life is really like in school or when I'm with my friends. I have a different life than a teenager in Pakistan had 30 years ago. If I told them some things that I do, they would be worried, like me going to the school dancing club. There are boys there too. They wouldn't want me to go there. It would worry them. I know I'm not doing anything wrong, but how can I make them see? If they asked me face to face, I would tell them. I could never tell a lie straight to their faces, eye to eye.
Face-to-face lies seem to be worse, that's right, because it involves acting. Your whole body is involved in producing a convincing lie, a bigger act, more deplorable maybe.
Sorry to step in here, but we have a short break before we continue talking about this new aspect of honesty, body language.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Welcome again to Spirit of the Time. I'm Judy Andrews. Today we're going to tackle one of the basic topics of human interaction. Let's get into the topic with a little story before I introduce my guest, Sean McConnery, to you. You'll have the chance to call in via Skype and comment or ask our expert. Yesterday, during my lunch break, I went to have a bite to eat and relax reading some tabloids. I sat down at a table next to two women who were happily chatting over a latte macchiato. After a while, a mobile rang. Obviously, the daughter of one of the women was calling. "Darling, it's okay if you go with Mona. I'm still in a meeting at work. I can come and pick you up when the meeting is over." Then she asked to talk to Mona's mum and repeated that she was in a meeting and could sneak out early at 3 p.m. or, if Mona's mum didn't mind, after it was officially over at 4. Mona's mum didn't mind. When I left to go back to work, the two were still enjoying themselves. No signs of work or preparations to leave. It was 3:15. It took some time for me to realise that this nice lady had just been lying to both her daughter and the person who was taking care of her daughter at that time. Is that okay? How honest are we? How honest do we think we are? This is what we'll be talking about today. So, Let me begin by asking our expert. Welcome, Sean. Nice to have you here.
Hi, nice to be here.
So, Sean, what do you think of my little example? Was that lie okay?
Well, I think your observation reflects a basic dilemma. Yes, the woman was definitely lying, but was it a bad lie? Did it hurt anyone? Or does lying to your child always harm this very important relationship? So you can see that we tend to start thinking when it comes to judging whether something is a lie or not, as if there was a kind of lie that is allowed, a good lie, and one that is forbidden. There are hardly any people who generally say lying is okay. So being truthful is actually a general cultural rule. But still, we differentiate between lie and lie. Doesn't a busy mum deserve a break with a friend in peace and quiet? Doesn't she even protect her child from feeling unimportant?
Let's hear Sephora, who's joining us via Skype. Hi, Sephora. Tell us what you think.
Good evening, everyone. What I dislike about your story is that the woman lies without any real reason. By doing so, she doesn't do her child any good. She lies just to make things easier for herself. Why doesn't she admit that she's seeing a friend? And what really annoys me is that she didn't even seem to be embarrassed in front of her friend or the other people, so it seems to be normal for her. A way of life to get by easily, and that's what I don't like. We should not lie.
I know what you're saying. We shouldn't be too easy with lies, giving ourselves excuses for even the tiniest matters. So lying becomes somewhat normal whenever it brings about an advantage. Think of the media. Think of fake news, fake internet identities. When did you last post a picture that was not manipulated? We all don't like liars, but where do we begin?
Oh, now you're opening up the whole big world of lies in politics and the media. But as our time is limited, I'd like to stick to the more private aspect of the matter. The daily struggle with our bad conscience. The gap between our moral values and reality. Sean, you made an experiment and wrote a book about it. 1 year without lying. What a challenge. More than you imagined, right?
Oh, absolutely challenging and unexpected.
What I actually found most interesting in your book were the many situations you came across in your daily routines where everything was different than usual just because you couldn't lie, and how disturbing it was for the people around you.
Oh, yes. Private life without lying is impossible, believe me.
Tell us more.
Well, during my project, I set myself a very strict set of rules. No lies at all. Believe me, you have no idea how many times a day you lie according to this strict sense. And people are absolutely not prepared to take the truth. I lost some friends that year and upset many people. Let me give you an example. Your wife is dressing up for a party. She asks you how she looks, and the true answer would be, "You looked better to me in jeans and t-shirt." Does she want to hear that? Does it help her? Not at all. It's simply what I was thinking at that moment. Or our little child asks, "Will I be queen one day?" Is no the right answer in that situation? It would be if she were 30 and not yet married to Prince George. But for her... But I had to tell her, "No way!" And she cried. And she hated me for that honesty.
Well, clearly I also lie in situations like that. I don't actually feel like a liar, though. It's more like a ritual of politeness or respect. And in your first example, you could have told your wife that she looked great without lying to her. I bet she looked great, even though it wasn't what you were thinking. Being truthful doesn't mean you have to say everything you're thinking. On the contrary, always saying straight out what you think is simply rude. When you see a friend who's put on some weight, just keep it to yourself.
Hmm, right. But my wife did ask. But you're right. I didn't really need to tell her. So where do we draw the line between lying and just not saying something?
Ah, I know this problem. I often feel bad because there are things I don't tell my parents about, not just to keep myself out of trouble, but also because I think they simply wouldn't understand.
Ah, what kind of things?
You know, my parents didn't grow up here in Britain. They grew up in Pakistan, and they don't know what my life is really like in school or when I'm with my friends. I have a different life than a teenager in Pakistan had 30 years ago. If I told them some things that I do, they would be worried, like me going to the school dancing club. There are boys there too. They wouldn't want me to go there. It would worry them. I know I'm not doing anything wrong, but how can I make them see? If they asked me face to face, I would tell them. I could never tell a lie straight to their faces, eye to eye.
Face-to-face lies seem to be worse, that's right, because it involves acting. Your whole body is involved in producing a convincing lie, a bigger act, more deplorable maybe.
Sorry to step in here, but we have a short break before we continue talking about this new aspect of honesty, body language.
This is the end of Listening Part 4. Now you have time to copy all your answers onto the final answer sheet. Be careful, please. Don't make any mistakes when you copy your answers. Now hand in all the papers to the teacher, please. This is the end of your listening test.